I would kind of go on a content first basis. But if you're looking for how to build out your content, then the user journey is a great place to start role playing the roadmap of like where content sits and how you can help people get through to a conversion point that's a little bit trickier, or help them to understand a product that maybe isn't self-explanatory first, anything like that.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO or Facebook ads, and we pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And each episode, a new one released every Wednesday, in those, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. At the moment, we are picking up the content marketing thread again. So in this episode, we're going to be looking at how you make your content really work for you. How do you sweat it? How do you make sure that it is driving the results? And the way we're going to do that is by linking the content you're creating proactively with different stages of your customer journey. So it's a bit of a different way to think about your content strategy and what you're going to create, where you're going to put it, help you prioritize a bit better of which ideas get created. We'll also be getting a little bit into coming up with ideas for content, and we'll be exploring a phrase my guest has coined that's called role-playing the customer journey. So get ready for that. And make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because at the end, my guests will be sharing their quickfire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of your content marketing even more. And I'll be sharing a couple of other thoughts as well. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my four-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
In this episode, I'm chatting with content marketing expert Hannah Brady. Hannah is a senior content strategist at the agency Connective 3. She's been creating award-winning SEO-focused content strategies for brands large and small for over 8 years. Hello, Hannah.
Hello. It's absolutely delightful to be here and chatting.
It's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for applying to come on. How did you end up in the world of content marketing?
So my kind of route into content marketing was, well, to be honest, not really knowing it existed in the first place. I did English literature at university and then kind of stumbled my way into marketing just through a love of designing and graphics and writing content, writing copy. If I'd known at the time that I left university that like SEO content was a job you can just do, that you can just be paid to write words for websites, I would have immediately gone and done that. I kind of found my way to it the long way around, but I think a very, very beneficial way around. I came through like in-house marketing teams, being a real jack of all trades, everything from like really, really trading the hell out of an e-commerce site, email marketing, CRM, managing install POS, everything. I've had a bit of a hand in at some point, which has set me in really, really good stead for niching down into sort of SEO content and content marketing specifically, but still having a really good awareness of everything. So yeah, it's Connective 3 is a really nice sort of agency for me to be at, because I can use kind of all those skills in different ways, but in a very different way to when I was just a little baby in house figuring my way through this crazy thing we call the Sherlock thing.
I think it does make you a better marketer if you understand the whole of what's going on, the ops complexity, every marketing channel's complexity. You've got some idea of it. It makes you better at the one thing you do because you've got more understanding, sympathy, nous about how it all comes together.
For sure. Sympathy, I think, is a really big part of it. Like, obviously, being agency side and having clients to deal with, it's very easy to kind of get frustrated with, like, roadblocks. But when you've been in-house, you know that that's, like, the 15th thing on their list this week. And that's not even counting stuff that they've looked at from last week. There's so much to do all of the time, especially when you're trading an e-commerce site. It's all-encompassing. And at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm used to having to produce a trade report Monday morning saying, well, what happened last week? And that was every single week. So every single day did count very, very much. So a good agency, a good client-agency relationship just needs to be understanding that and greasing the runway as much as you can to kind of make things go smoother wherever you can, as opposed to being another kind of sticking point. So yeah, getting that quite intimately and how much you are pulled sort of pillar to post is, I think, yeah, not only a skill set, but it's a view that I'm very, very grateful to have, I think.
Yes, it can be so easy when you're on one side of the conversation thinking, why can't you do that? It's like a 5-minute job. It's like, yeah, but.
Yeah.
And they're all completely valid buts, as frustrating as they might be.
Yeah, it's a 5-minute job if you don't have compliance and a dev team that won't do anything and possibly, you know, some key stakeholders or an owner or a creator or someone somewhere that's just going, nope. And we have really very little view on the absolute machinations of that on client side. But when you've been in it, it's at least a little bit easier to empathize and be like, hey, I appreciate that we're moving. As long as we're both pushing in the same direction, eventually, hopefully we'll get somewhere with it. But it's not the be all and end all if it's going to take a little longer.
It's always that entertaining moment when you catch up with someone who's always been agency side or supplier side and they've decided they're going to go brand side for a bit and you catch up with them a couple of months later and they're like, oh my God.
Like, a lot of my friends have said, like, oh, I just want a really nice quiet in-house job. And I'm like, I mean, you could get lucky, but I don't think I've ever had what I would describe as a quiet, certainly not in a marketing team, a quiet in-house marketing job. I can't imagine.
No, me neither. But before we go off on career paths, we shall bring ourselves back to content marketing because you wanted to talk to our lovely audience about how we should be mapping our on-site content against a customer journey. And I think so often in e-commerce, just the idea of sorting out our on-site content is hard enough without then trying to take into account the customer journey. So let's get into that. First off, could you just let us know what you mean by on-site content? What are we actually talking about? Written, graphics, images, video, where does it sit? All that kind of good stuff. And then also what your perspective is on customer journey. Because it's always good to define terms.
Yeah, no, you're so right, actually. So ideally, content is obviously everything. I think most practically for me in my day-to-day, that means SEO content. Largely that's going to be blogs, that's going to be guides, that's going to be maybe some like landing pages. But I think one thing that's key is not discounting. We go like a URL by URL basis a lot of the time to look at this kind of content. It's very easy to say, oh, it's just a landing page. But a lot of the time, there's really good content hidden on a landing page that you launched for a campaign 3 months ago and you've forgotten about. Because when you're trading, you're on to the next thing. You're just spinning up the next campaign to get the email shot out, wherever it is. But having someone going back and looking at all of that content, which is, it takes effort to make, it takes effort to put together, and 9 times out of 10 can be used in a slightly more valuable way across the customer funnel. It's just really, really valuable. So we generally, like I said, look at SEO content, but I've also got a lot of time and love in my heart for infographics, video. We're so like personally very SEO focused. So I love a good optimized image that can get me an image pack, anything like that. And then in terms of the customer funnel and sort of the user journey, I guess it's literally just zooming right out, like not even like forgetting the word funnel, because I think so few businesses have like a completely traditional funnel anymore. We all know about the messy middle and all the nonsense that goes on there and how many different channels there are now, that it's no longer as simple as discover brand, think about brand, convert through brand. It so rarely happens that way anymore. At least quickly. So I think for me, user journey is kind of any of the touch points that someone's going to have with a brand up to, during, and after converting or registering interest or whatever it may be. So for me, the user journey is literally what is the journey that someone is going on with your business, not necessarily where are they, what stage are they at in the funnel? Have they moved through to like pre-conversion? Are they in the consideration? Like, I think that's a little, those concepts exist for a reason, but for me, I think there's something a lot more kind of soft, fluffy brand stuff to talk about there with the customer journey of like the emotional journey, the where they first seeing you, are they appearing in SERPs? Was it on TikTok? Was it on social? Where does that put you in their sort of eyes as an expert? How can we build that up with actual expert content? All that sort of stuff. And then just mapping that against what is the eventual goal you want for that customer and what's the lifetime you want with that customer? Like, do you want, you bought or you're gone? Do you want to sustain? Because that changes the way that you approach things. It's not just getting as many as you can and then chuck them out the door. If you want a long-term kind of relationship and a customer basis that really, really works.
Loving those explanations. And so they prompt me to a question, which is, so do you, with that non-linear customer journey and the recycling of past great content that got created for campaigns and then got abandoned, do you think content piece first and then where does that fit in the customer journey? Or do you think customer journey first, identify the gaps and then create the content? I guess which comes first, the chicken or the egg, the customer journey or the on-site content as you're practically doing this?
I think for me, practically, I think if you know your customer, the customer journey kind of comes along with the content. Like if you know who you're writing for or making the content for, pretty naturally it will slot into some part in that journey, I think. If you're creating it for the right reasons, you're doing all the things that... I'm going to repeat some phrases that I promise I'd never say again after being on stage with Brighton SEO, where I called Google Daddy Google 3 times on stage without realizing that I'd done that. But as Daddy Google tells us to do, create content for the right reasons for people. I think as long as you have that in mind with your user, and it's like, you know, these are very easy sort of talk points to say. It's very easy to get caught up in. I do it all the time. And like, what has keyword volume? What will contribute the most to conversions on this or blog or this guide? But I think honestly, as long as you understand your customer, who they are, who you're talking to, whichever segment it may be, you're probably going to nail a part of the customer journey. And then it's just going back and checking, was I right there? Did that map against something generally? You know, where and what kind of user wants this kind of content? So I think naturally you're always going to have a little bit of the customer journey in there. So I would kind of go on a content first basis. But if you're looking for how to build out your content, then the user journey is a great place to start and really kind of looking at that, you know, role playing the roadmap of like where content sits and how you can help people get through to a conversion point that's a little bit trickier or help them to understand a product that maybe isn't self-explanatory at first, anything like that.
I love that phrase, role playing at your roadmap. I think that's so cool. So let's get into that a bit in a moment. I will just say before I take us back to something else, I love that because I think so often it's the case, and I've seen many an e-commerce brand do that. They've gone, what's the number one question our customers ask us before buying? Oh, it's this. Do we have a page about that on the website? Oh, no, we don't. And that's like often you go, oh, that's such an obvious thing. Why didn't we do that? Or we did on the last website or something, but it got lost in the migration.
Yeah. Or, well, we do, but it's on like the third FAQ down on the help page. And we have no way of tracking if anyone's actually going for that on that page.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do, you know. I've been in-house, I've seen it, I've done it. And if I always say, if I could go back to my in-house jobs now, knowing what I know, why?
So there was one question I wanted to ask you before we got too deep, before we go and get deep into the role-playing a roadmap idea, which is, are we doing this purely for SEO? Are we doing this for conversion? Or do they both go hand in hand? Because I think sometimes we can get very focused on SEO, but miss out on the fact of actually, yeah, it's great it's ranking for SEO, but can the customer actually find it? The one who's on the homepage going, yeah. I'm asking the number one question the customers ask when they need to check, when they want, what they buy, and I can't find anything about it, but it's ranking for SEO. Should they have yeah. asked Google, they could have found it. So is this, as you're putting together strategies for people, as you're reviewing their content, deciding what content needs to be creative, are you thinking pure SEO? Are you thinking pure conversion? Is it some mix? Is there something else that's the goal?
I mean, obviously, it's a very, very easy answer to say. It should be both. They should always go hand in hand. But realistically, I think everyone knows that you will occasionally have some pages that do very, very well for SEO. There might have been pages that you expected to do very well. And then you can look at them with a slightly more cynical conversion-based eye. You know, I can't count the amount of times we've had a slightly softer, kind of more lifestyle blog take off for a client and go absolutely bonkers. And then it's, well, okay, that isn't something we expected, but clearly that resonates with our customers. What does that tell us? Can we kind of do something more with that? And on that particular piece of content, how do we make it work harder? So then you're looking at that conversion piece with a bit more focus. You're looking at, I really can't, if anyone here takes one thing away from this, it would be look at the CTAs on your content and really, really, really make them work harder, make sure you've got them, make sure they're pushing to the right places and the relevant places. Don't be afraid to change them up. You don't have to use the same button on every single thing. But really, if you want someone to take an action or look at a product or something based off SEO content, then having your CTAs be right, relevant, helpful is so powerful if you want to drive conversions. And just to ramble away back to the original question, I think it's very, very easy to focus on like conversion content, especially when you have like a little unicorn that does really well for conversions. But I also think there's a reason that it does that, and it probably is because if it's written well for SEO, it probably is written well for your users, and they naturally kind of go hand in hand. And frankly, you can't really overlook the rise of AI overviews and AI generally. Upon which my feelings are curious but mixed, because I think more and more we are going to see searches that aren't traditional type it into Google, hit enter, see what comes up searches, and it will behoove any site to have the answers available. You might not even rank for them necessarily, but I think having that information is going to be so important for someone even finding you in the first place. Not to mention the influence of like social search on SEO is huge and is only going to get bigger. You know, if someone sees your product on a TikTok or an Instagram reel or something and wants to find you or has a question about that product or isn't sure where to locate it, making sure that you do rank is just as important as making sure that you have pages that are very sort of shiny and conversion heavy. If you don't turn up first, second, third on that search, that's customers down the drain, just straight off. So it's so important to make sure that this is why your sort of all your channel activity should, as much as possible, link together. It's easy if you've got one product, because everything will just funnel back to that one product. But if you have multiple, then my God, make sure those pages are indexable, findable, and not just through the site nav or the map or something like that. Make sure that you can get them on Google.
Got you. Okay, so let's talk role-playing your roadmap. How do we start doing this? Is it go off and speak to customer service? Is it speak to some customers? Or is it literally move the marketing team away from their computers and have a think? You know, what do we practically do?
I mean, it's all of it. I mean, you can tell I'm an avid Dungeons & Dragons player from the sheer role-playing your roadmap. But I think there is really something in as basic as role-playing it, of really trying to put yourself in the shoes of a customer at different stages of that messy funnel of being like, okay, I've never heard of the brand. I've seen something on an Instagram ad. What are my next questions? What are my next steps? And then maybe someone who's purchased a product, okay, well, what's the aftercare here to turn them into like a lifetime customer? It's literally taking every single possible stage and role-playing it through. And then at every point of that, checking it against your content roadmap, saying, well, do we actually have that content? Like, I used to work for one of my in-house jobs was for like a women's footwear company. And I think now, God, the content we should have had on looking after leather footwear It really wires me up because we had a customer service team. I was totally inundated with, you know, queries or questions or issues or complaints about stuff that could have been probably handled quite a bit easier if we had that information available on the website and also SEO optimized to perform better from a brand piece. So there really is no downside to this. If you get it right, your sort of customer service and customer contact team will thank you, which is also why, as you said, you should always get them involved from the top, because whoever speaks to your client, your user, your customer the most is gold dust to you. Like, I can't tell you how helpful it's been when we've had, you know, compliance or customer care teams get involved with content ideation in the past, because they can turn up ideas that I would never in a million years have thought of. And that goes for very niche, like financial brands, as well as the, like, you know, fun e-commerce topics and stuff like that. I think as long as your ideation is controlled, you're not having all and sundry, and more ideas aren't a bad thing, because, okay, yeah, it might not have keywords that you can sort of plot against it right now to say, here's the SEO value of it. But if it's relevant to the customer, then it's relevant to your customer. And eventually those keywords will pick up some volume. If it's a trend and you can be first to serve with something because somebody in your customer service team says, people just keep mentioning this and I think it's relevant. My God, you're going to be number one first to serve without even really trying, just because you have some information there that no one else is privy to and you can use it. So role-playing goes sort of two steps. I think it's that literal walking through how someone uses your website, your product, your service. Where are the friction points? And you really do need everyone to kind of get involved on that one, which is always a big ask. But I'm always a big proponent of get everyone in a room and use some post-it notes. It's a marketing cliche for a reason.
And when we're getting everybody involved and we're going through this process, I imagine the first time we do it, it's quite hard work, but this isn't a once and done, is it? This is something which almost should be on someone's permanent to-do list, is reviewing where we're at. So this is an ongoing thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think you're always going to do one kind of big push, one big project, but then it just becomes a slightly more natural part of the kind of feedback process, where if someone knows that you're open to suggestions for content, you can say, well, let me have a look, see if there are keywords. There aren't any, but I think that's a really good point. Thank you for like raising it. We'll take it to our agency, we'll take it to our marketing team, and we'll sort of push that through. And then taking that off to your social or your CRM or your email or whoever, that whole kind of organic process just flows so much more smoothly when someone is open and receptive to the ideas and you know someone's going to be looking at it again. So instead of having like a completely static roadmap, having some wiggle room, I personally really like to do for my clients, where there is just like, maybe, you know, if we say we're going to do this many blogs per week or per month or whatever, there's always a little bit of time where we have like a backlog of ideas that can very, very easily quickly slot into there. But we also have space for, well, what's happening in the news? Well, what can we quickly jump on? What trend can we kind of pivot to? Can we track that through the month and then just slot that into that last little bit of content there? And if that works, when we upscale that a little bit, is there more ideas we can pick up from somewhere? So it's never really a done process. You always should be kind of role-playing it and checking it, especially if you're changing products or coming out with sort of new things to offer. At every single point, you should be walking through, if only to save your poor customer service team from being inundated with the same 50 questions over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, if you just provide them with some blog posts or FAQ pages, then go to that actually answer the customer's question, they will love you for it.
Yeah.
Hannah, loving all of that. Thank you very much. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Hannah's insider tips on content marketing and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business. One that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O, There you can read my four-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yachtpo.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Okay, Hannah, so far we've gone deep into mapping on-site content against a customer journey. Deep, deep, deep. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of content marketing. So for the following questions, your answer could be anything to do with content marketing, which of course does include all those things we've already been talking about. So Hannah, are you ready for the insider tips?
Let's go.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
I think I'm going to be really, really cheesy here and quote one of my favorite TV shows, which is Ted Lasso, which is be curious, not judgmental, I think is such an important tip. Whether you're in-house or agency, e-commerce or, you know, on the phones or whatever, being curious about what other channels are doing and what your customers are doing is so incredibly powerful. Being the person that asks the, you know, the helpful questions, the, hey, I noticed you're doing that. That's really interesting. Do you think we could use that on like for a blog, or we could put that on social? Being the person that's curious and doesn't just go, well, I know what that team is doing. That doesn't seem relevant to me. And being that kind of connecting force, I think is the person that you want in the room. And being that person really, really helps to kind of push these things forward. If you can be curious and excited and passionate about the things that you're working on, you'll see a difference being made, and that just kind of echo chambers it back into an even bigger sense of success and celebration, which I think is honestly really lovely and overlooked in the digital marketing world of like, it's PR, not ER, and we should try and have a little bit of fun with it, because I think customers can tell when marketing isn't even a little bit fun, when someone's just drudging stuff out, just piling out content day after day for the sake of it, to fulfill a roadmap, to check a keyword box. I think if you can have something genuinely interesting or unique or something that made you ask a question, that's the best kind of place to start. And that's the best person to be in a room, for my money anyway.
Oh, I like that. Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Improving performance, like I said before, I think checking your CTAs is such a basic one, but it's so easy to miss. It's so easy to have a really good blog post that does great for SEO, but if you're missing out on a really good CTA or a really good link through, I think that's a very, very quick win. I'd also say internal linking is boring and no one's favorite thing to do, and something that you will probably want to outsource to your SEO, your SEO agency, but internal linking is super duper powerful. And if you have a blog, a guide, a page that's doing really well, then share the love, get your internal linking right, help Google and your user to understand and funnel off deeper into the site.
Yeah, I once worked, back when I still did a bit of consulting, with a company who had the most amazing blog full of awesome stuff that was doing great on search, but there was not a single link from the blog area back into the e-commerce site. And you were just like, oh, come on, guys, huge opportunity here.
That's nice that you're like, hey, so quick win.
Yeah, it was like both misery and excitement at mm-hmm. the same time.
And internal link reviews are not, I can't lie and say that it's a great time with you in a spreadsheet, but I'm sure there are people out there who love internal link reviews. I think I work with some people that love internal link reviews, and they are, to me, God's bravest soldiers, because...
Yeah, but brilliant, because it's completely within your own control to fix.
Absolutely, and it's such an easy thing to overlook.
Yeah, okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Probably not the cheapest and probably somewhat controversial, but I honestly think that I became a much better SEO when I started using tools like Ahrefs SEO Toolbar. Obviously, if you're paying for Ahrefs, then you'll get the full sort of keyword database behind it. But literally just any SEO toolbar, I think, something that shows you content on site that shows you heading structure, that shows you meta title and meta description, all of a sudden the nuts and bolts seem a little bit less scary when you're seeing them every day, day in, day out. I think it's so easy to get like panicked by all the different tools and all the different software, but something that you're familiar with and that you're comfortable with very quickly helps you to learn how it works. If you can, you know, if you're in an agency and you have access to that, really sort of dig into, look at which pages have which keywords and why. I can't promise it's the cheapest resource ever, but just getting familiar with stuff through a toolbar like that for me was a really, really big game changer.
Nice. Yeah, just constantly visible. You also can't ignore it, can you? It's just there. Okay, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Ooh, 6 to 12 months? I mean, it feels like the easy answer to say social search, but I think that is a big part of things. I think especially with AI overviews and, you know, the youth searching for information with ChatGPT rather than going to Google, I think it's more important than ever that you're optimized not just for your website's SEO, but for literally how people are using social media, that you're finding them where they are. I think there'll be so much more of that. I think as soon as you can start linking properly from, you know, different Instagram posts and stuff, then your brand is going to change massively. So I think social search is going to be absolutely huge. And tying that back with your SEO efforts and not having them be siloed off, like so many social teams don't talk to SEO teams. And that's such a pitfall, like I even tell you.
I love that. Super practical crystal ball there. Hannah, thank you so much for being on the show. We're nearly at the end. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business?
Absolutely. So my name is Hannah Brady, Senior Content Strategist at the lovely agency Connective 3. You can find us at connective3.com. We offer full service digital strategy and marketing for every business under the sun. We're a lovely bunch of people. We work very hard and care very much. And yeah, I think we're pretty awesome. I've been here for 4 years. It was my anniversary a few weeks ago. I can't imagine a better place to be.
There's a recommendation. Okay, Hannah, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast and for being so generous, sharing your content marketing strategy expertise with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been absolutely lovely.
So I do love that idea of role-playing the customer journey, putting yourself in the customer's shoes and working out what content they'd want at each stage, either to discover you, so it's, you know, more of an SEO focus, or to help them through the conversion process, so I guess further down the funnel. And thinking about it from the standpoint of, okay, we're going to create this content. Are we writing this content for someone who's already bought the product? Are we writing this content for someone who hasn't bought the product yet, who's new to the brand? To help you get the tone of voice right and to work out where it's going to sit. You know, for example, I keep coming back to tense at the moment on the show, so sorry about that. But if you're doing a how to put up your tent guide to someone who's already bought the tent, and that's created in one way, but you might also do a section on top tips for making sure you get your tent up right every time, that's more generic, that sits higher up the funnel. So there you go. My thoughts on that. You can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct page on the website. And when you get to the website, make sure you add yourself to our email list, because I wouldn't want you to miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed the episode, then do check out our last episode, episode 229, where we got into multi-platform content strategies, because I think it will really help you build on what you've learned in this episode, coming at a similar challenge, but from a very different angle, that one. So you can find our full thread of content marketing content by either scrolling up your feed or use the short link keepopt.com/content. And please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week. Make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Acast
Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business. One that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo. That's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.